I'm Paul DiRienzo, and our guest is Kevin Zeese. Welcome, Kevin.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Great to have you on. Now, Kevin Zeese, you're in an interesting location. I imagine you're right now in the Venezuelan embassy in Washington, D.C.?
That's right. Looking at a painting of Simon Bolivar.
Great. How long have you been there?
I've been here about, I have to look lately, about 13 days. We started this on the 10th of April. It's called the Embassy Protection Collective, and we're here with the permission of the Venezuelan government. So we're not breaking any laws doing it, although we've been threatened by the State Department and their police to arrest us. They haven't said when or how or for what charge. I asked for what charge. I said, how can we be trespassing if we're here with the permission of the owner of the building, which is the Venezuelan elected Venezuelan government, and how could we be unlawfully under when we have a key that they gave us? And so I don't know what they would charge us with. And we've also warned them that if there is an unlawful arrest, that we will hold the decision makers that ordered it and the police that carried it out accountable, that lawsuits will be filed against anyone involved in any unlawful arrest or unlawful eviction, because we're under D.C. law. We are tenants. We are living here. We call it a live-in. You've heard of die-ins and sit-ins. Well, this is a live-in. We are living in the Venezuelan embassy, sleeping here, eating here, working here, shopping for food here. That's what we're doing. And so we're tenants, and under tenant law, and it doesn't require even a written lease in Washington, D.C., but it does require that for an eviction, there's a process that's followed. And so we've not been given any notice of eviction or been asked to leave or anything along those lines. So, yes, we're here, and we're being threatened, but we have a lot of support from people. I think that people power is keeping the government at bay for now.
All right. That's great to hear. What is their activity? I mean, do they have watchers, guys in trench coats and fedoras outside the door watching people coming in and out? They have cameras, things like that on you?
Well, what they have is secret service police cars parked outside now and then. I've seen Secret Service police cars on a block away, a parallel block, multiple cars that were there for a while. We've had them approach the building with cameras to look at doors and windows and take pictures of them so they could probably go back and discuss it with their colleagues on how best to approach the building. And I've had conversations with the Secret Service when they've come up to photograph. Both Medea Benjamin and I went out. Medea Benjamin, Code Pink, I'm with Popular Resistance. Those are the two organizations that inspired this Embassy Protection Collective. So Medea and I went out to talk to the Secret Service, and they would not say when they were coming or if they were coming. They said we should stay in touch with the State Department, as we've been doing. They said that they were just there to gather information. And so we've been correspondence with the State Department police force, their intelligence service, and I've let them know that the embassies are under the Vienna Convention are inviolate. In other words, they cannot be violated. They cannot be trespassed. They cannot be entered by the host government where the embassy is held. The United States coming in here would be a violation of the Vienna Convention. The United States giving this embassy to a fake puppet government of their choosing would be a violation and would send a terrible message internationally. Because mm-hmm. that would mean that what foreign embassy is safe in Washington, D.C.? They can just ignore the Vienna Convention and give it to somebody else? It makes no sense. So it's a very bad precedent if they go forward with this.
Absolutely. In fact, I don't really even understand why this is an issue. If you have permission of the owners, then you have a right to be there. I mean, what's the debate?
That's exactly right. And I think what the debate is that the U.S. government and the Metropolitan Police have already helped the opposition take over other Venezuelan buildings, the military attaché in Washington, D.C., a building of Venezuela at the U.N. was taken over, and so they've already done this. What's different this time is people are standing up to them, and we are in the building, and 30 or more people each night are sleeping here, and we are saying we will resist. We will not voluntarily give this building over to the U.S. government or to the opposition.
Now,
we don't recognize the opposition as a legitimate government.
Yeah. Now, Elliot Abrams, there was some Medea and you guys confronted, and others, Ariel Gold, who's I assume with you, confronted Elliot Abrams at the Atlantic Forum, I think it's called, right? Just the other day.
The Atlantic Council.
Atlantic Council. What is the Atlantic Council?
It's a corporate foreign policy group that is tied to NATO, various military forces, various transnational corporations, and it's a imperialist foreign policy institute. And Abrams was speaking there, and Ariel Gold, who is actually staying at the embassy, but she, at that point, went over to the Atlantic Council meeting and was able to get up on her chair and interrupt Elliot Abrams, and saying that he didn't have the right. The session was Elliot Abrams discussing the future of Venezuela without Nicolas Maduro, and she got up and said that he had no right to talk about that, to decide the fate of Venezuela. That's an independent, sovereign nation, and Maduro was elected, and that it's not up to him who's president, it's up to the people of Venezuela. And so she got up and confronted him. Unfortunately, later in that, after she was removed, Elliot Abrams continued to speak, and he did speak about our collective here. He claimed falsely that we're violating the law. As I explained, we're not violating the law because we're here with permission. Second, he claimed that we had been told to leave. We've not been told to leave by anybody. The only people who could tell us to leave would be the elected Venezuelan government, but nobody has told us to leave. So he was wrong on both counts, but he said we should be arrested and evicted. As I said, if that occurs, they're violating the tenancy laws in Washington, D.C. If we're arrested, illegally arrested, we will make sure that the people who do that are held accountable.
Right. He seemed to say that, does he have the power to, does a person like Elliot Abrams have the power to order somebody arrested or removed from any building under any circumstances? Does he have that authority?
No, he does not. He does not have that authority, and it's a kind of a very bizarre statement for him to make, and as I said, completely inaccurate. But they have not minded violating the laws in this whole coup process. I mean, the self-appointed of Juan Guaido violated the Venezuelan constitution in multiple ways, and it's just laughable that they claim that this is legal under the Venezuelan constitution when it's totally illegal. I can explain that to you if you want to go into those details.
Yes, tell me. I want to. But I want to ask you one question more about Elliot Abrams, and I want you to go
sure.
into that. Who the heck is Elliot Abrams?
Elliot Abrams is a special advisor assigned to deal with Venezuela for the Trump administration. He has a long history of being an abuser of human rights in Latin, Central American countries and other countries around the world. In fact, he was convicted in the Iran-Contra scandal and then was pardoned by George W. Bush. So this is a convicted liar who violates the law, and he should have no position in government. It's an embarrassment that Elliot Abrams, with his bloody history.
He was convicted. Wasn't he convicted of and then pardoned
yes.
later on by William Barr?
Exactly.
It's the same guy.
Convicted.
Right? Go ahead.
He was pardoned by Bush.
Oh, pardoned by Bush, right? But William,
right.
wasn't Barr was involved? He was the attorney general they brought in to smooth the way for the
right.
pardons
that's
of
right.
all these people from
that's
Iran,
right.
the Iran-Contra. So that's
yep.
why Trump brought in Barr, because he's their like pardon guy.
Well, Trump, the bar has a history of standing with the power structure, for sure.
For sure. And so Elliot Abrams was he was involved with the Contras, I remember, in the 80s so well, because here,
that's right.
here at BAI, we really covered that very, very closely. I got
that's
to
right.
travel to Nicaragua, and so we knew what the Contras were doing and that they were basically cutthroats and murderers, et cetera, and that he was the guy who was behind the whole arms for hostages. I mean, while the president was telling us, Reagan, he would never, do business with terrorists, he was actually going way beyond that. He was creating terrorist groups and then doing business with them. The
Iran-Contra, that's
yes.
right, was a terrible policy, and it was tied into both the Middle East and Central America, crimes in both areas of the world. And the Reagan administration, Reagan was lucky to avoid getting prosecuted for that, and Abrams was prosecuted for lying about it and convicted, and then he was pardoned. But he should have no role in government. The
right.
fact that
yeah.
he's been put in charge of Venezuela is a very bad sign for Venezuela. It's one reason why when they did this whole phony humanitarian aid thing, where they were trying to supposedly bring humanitarian aid trucks into Venezuela, total false nonsense, that Venezuela opposed it, and also why the Red Cross in Colombia said it was not humanitarian aid because it had a political agenda. And Elliot Abrams has a history of smuggling guns that way and weapons that way. And so we have no question that this was really a ploy to bring weaponry into Venezuela in order to cause strife and chaos. And thankfully that was stopped. But Elliot Abrams is still in charge as a key player in Venezuela policy. And that's one reason why we're occupying this embassy. Well, we're not living in this embassy, I should say. We're the anti-occupiers.
Are you squatting? Really. Is this a squat? I mean,
No, it's not a squat because we're here legally.
Uh-huh.
We were told by 3 nights ago by the deputy foreign minister who spoke to us by video, thanking us for being here, telling us we were here legally, offering any help we could. The next night we had the foreign minister speak to us by video link from the UN, again saying how great the work we were doing, how much the Venezuelan appreciated us standing in solidarity with them, and how he would offer any support that we were there under their lawful protection. And the next day, by the way, the Trump administration put individual sanctions on him. So unheard of to give sanctions to a foreign minister while he's at the UN. Just unheard of. So you have the potential of a violation of the Vienna Convention of an embassy that makes the message that no embassy is safe in Washington, D.C. Then you have a foreign minister sanctioned at the UN for speaking about this embassy and offering our protection to us. And so we had the protection of both the top people in the foreign ministry. And then the next night, we heard from embassy staff that President Maduro was aware of this embassy protection collective and was appreciative and thankful and also offered any support he could. We've asked for no special support at all.
Do you have electricity? Do you have water?
Electricity, water, showers, kitchens, couches. And people are sleeping on couches and in individual offices.
So they haven't attempted to turn off the electricity. That's usually nothing like that. Have they threatened
nothing
to
like that yet?
Yeah, nothing like that. That's great. So you've been in there 13 days with electricity and everything. TV? Do you watch TV and things like that?
I haven't watched TV. There are TVs, but I've never turned any of them on. We've been really busy because this is we have decorated the building with massive signs that have various political messages like hands off Venezuela, no war on Venezuela, stop the coup, large signs that are, 5 to 10 feet length and width. And we even put up a beautiful banner of Hugo Chavez's eyes. I don't know if you've ever seen those. They're very common in Venezuela and Latin America, Chavez eyes.
Uh-huh.
But we also have those hanging up. So we had an art bill to do that. We do a lot of interviews like we're doing with you. We've done a lot of writing about this on popularresistance.org. We have a lot of writing about it, social media about it. And so we're doing our best to let people know about this because the only way we're going to win this is if people participate. We need people supporting us. And the next 2 days are critical. Sunday and Monday are going to be critical test periods. For this protectorate.
Right, that's why we have you on. Would you be willing, Kevin Cease, who's joining us from the Venezuelan embassy, where you have, I would say you've occupied it, but you're not. You're there as guests of the Venezuelan government, and you're keeping an eye on the place during this time of uncertainty in the United States with the government here. And I'm sure people who are freedom-loving, democracy-loving people all over the world are definitely pleased that you're doing that. That said, would you be willing to stay on with us for a few more minutes and take a few calls from our listeners and see what they have to say?
Of course.
Our number is 212-209-2877, 212-209-2877. I'm Paul DiRienzo, this is my pop-up program called Let Them Talk. It can pop up any time, any day, any part of the day or night, and we have usually a very interesting guest in a very interesting circumstance. And so this is your chance to have a conversation with someone who has been living for the last 2 weeks inside of the Venezuelan embassy, occasionally visited by the Secret Service, threatened by Elliot Abrams, which is great, a wonderful thing in a way, and this is your chance to ask that question and any question you would like.
Let me tell you, I hope this will turn out.
Sure.
Because we found the one thing the foreign minister told us when he talked to us by video conference was that there was negotiations going on between the U.S. and Venezuela. The U.S. embassy in Caracas which is much bigger than this embassy, is also vacant. And they are trying to get Switzerland to serve as a protectorate. Mm-hmm. So it's under the protection of Switzerland while the U.S. is not in it.
You know, Kevin, I've been there. I've actually been to Venezuela several years ago.
Oh, great.
Yes.
Great.
And I actually interviewed, I didn't interview Chavez, but I did interview some other leading members of the National Assembly there at that time. And mm-hmm. I had to go to for some paperwork to the U.S. Embassy. And even the people who didn't like Chavez called it the bunker. It's sort of a running joke in the whole country because the U.S. Embassy is literally this bunker-like building built into the side of a mountain so that it can only be approached from one direction. And there's signs everywhere. We are not responsible for what happens if you get into a taxi cab in this area.
Oh, boy.
So,
so it's crazy. And I mean,
and everything was behind glass. Every dealing was behind double and triple glass.
Oh, boy. That's so crazy, U.S.
Yes, no windows, nothing. It was an amazing place.
The U.S. knows that they're doing negative things in Venezuela. They use that embassy as a place to try to do regime change and coup d'etats and attacks on the government. And they know that. And that's why they were asked to leave, because it was not really behaving like a diplomatic embassy. It was more of a CIA mm-hmm. operation to cause create opposition and create a revolt against the government. They were trying to bribe military members to not side with Maduro. They were trying to convince politicians not to run in the last election because they knew they couldn't win. So they were trying to convince them not to run in order to make the election look illegitimate. Mm-hmm. So they've been using that embassy as a way to do that kind of espionage.
Well, we have a caller on the line. Welcome to Let Them Talk pop-up show, and you're on the radio.
Hello.
Yes, you got a question or comment for Kevin Zeese.
Well, Kevin Z, I first of all would like to express my deep support and respect for Medea Benjamin, Code Pink, and your organization, and that you're on the front lines right now at this urgent time in our country's history. Well, being a black man, it's always been urgent, but I certainly appreciate your support and your invitation by a sovereign.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. We appreciate that.
Do you have any questions? Since you have somebody who's sitting in the embassy right now, do you have a question for Kevin?
Well, I would just ask, is there any way that we could support him?
Yes. Yes, well, I mean, there are two things that we need. The most important thing, of course, is people, but not everybody can come here. The next 2 days are going to be critical. We thought we would be evicted, actually, on Thursday. But we had a nice show of support of people outside and inside the embassy that would have made this bad optics for the U.S. government to take people out, American citizens out of the embassy in handcuffs who are trying to uphold the Vienna Convention. That would have been good optics for the United States. So having people here, especially people willing to spend the night, but even if you're not going to spend the night, to be here during the daytime, outside even. And I can tell you this, that you can be part of this without risking arrest. There are many of us who will risk arrest. I will risk arrest. Margaret Flowers will risk arrest. Medea Benjamin will risk arrest. Others will. Brian Becker of Answer and some Answer other activists will risk arrest. But you don't have to do that. Just being here and being a supporter is the most important thing. The second thing, of course, is finance. We don't know how long we're going to be here. I just went food shopping the other day. And $300, and it was like so strange to go food shopping. We had a lot of people here tonight. We probably served food to some like 40 people, I imagine. We had a very exciting event tonight, and so we do every night. And so we serve food, and so financial support, popularresistance.org, donate, send money, because we don't know how long we'll be here, and we're planning on being here. And I was partially telling a story about the protectorate negotiations. I mean, we plan to be here in the hope that these negotiations in the United States and Venezuela work, that the Venezuelans recognize Switzerland as a protectorate and the United States recognizes the country to protect this embassy. So we see ourselves as interim protectors to be replaced by a government that will protect this embassy on behalf of the Venezuelan people. So that now the foreign minister said that will not be done this week. That will not be completed next week. So we'll be here at least for a week unless we're forcibly evicted.
And then if negotiation succeeds, we will have, we could, if it doesn't succeed, it could result in war. I mean, if you have the U.S. embassy, the Venezuelan embassy taken by the United States, and then if Venezuela decides to respond by taking the U.S. embassy, I could see the U.S. declaring that as an act of war, and we could end up being in a war. So we are really not just trying to protect the embassy, we're trying to create a situation of peace and negotiation that succeeds in protecting both embassies. And once that negotiation is complete, we hope that's the beginning of negotiations to end the economic sanctions, which are really not sanctions, but unilateral coercive measures that are illegal under the UN Charter and international law. So that's our hope. This begins to wind down this adversarial relationship.
All right. Again, our number is 212-209-2877. Kevin Zeese on the line. He's sitting right now.
I have your number, but I would just request, I'm going to get off the phone, if you would repeat the number the website, I can make a contribution.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thanks. Yeah, go right ahead, Kevin. Say it again slowly. We'll say it a couple of times, and we'll say it again.
Yeah, I really appreciate you asking about that, because these things don't run on gas, on fumes. You have to pay money to feed people, and we have dozens of people here we have to feed. So the website's popularresistance.org. That's O-R-G, popularresistance.org. There's a donate button. You can go there and donate. And I hope people, when they're at the website, will check it out. We have a lot of articles about Venezuela and this Embassy Protection Collective and how you can help out, how you can participate. And you'll see we have a lot of articles on a lot of other issues as well. We do a daily news digest that's a summary of movement news, a short paragraph on about 10 to 15 articles, and you can click on the article for more information. You'll see that on the right-hand column. Our daily newsletter. We also have a weekly newsletter, which is an analysis piece where we take the really hot issues of the week for the movement and analyze it in context of the overall movement. So please check those out. And if you can donate at popularresistance.org, we would really appreciate the support. Thank you so much for asking.
Great. 212-209-2877 if you have any questions or comments. There's a lot to talk about and a lot of interesting stuff. How long could you wind up being there? I mean, you guys ready to just move in and just live there as long as you have to until this is over, this crisis?
What is the
end game of this crisis, I guess?
We have moved in. And we've been here since the start of our 10th is when this collective began. And so we've been here for a while already, and we plan to stay for the foreseeable future. We plan to stay until Venezuela and the United States reach agreements on protecting each other's embassies so we can avert an embassy battle and hopefully avert a war as well. So that, and the foreign minister said that's not going to be resolved next week. So we'll be here at least a week. Now, of course, you know, any day the Trump administration could decide to violate the Vienna Convention and enter this embassy, evict us illegally, arrest us unlawfully. That could happen tonight. It's a strange thing. So we're prepared for the long run, but we're also prepared for, the police to come in and take away our rights.
My experience in these kind of cases, these occupation things, is they usually like to come around 4 or 5 in the morning, but they also seem to like to set up lights, and they usually should have their generators and their Klieg lights all set up and ready to go. So, you know, if they go without that stuff, they just try and come in, you know, without warning, while it's still dark out, without lights and everything, that's a very dangerous situation. Even the police in New York don't usually do that.
It would be very bad optics for this narrative to show the federal government violating the Vienna Convention and entering this embassy and arresting U.S. citizens who are protecting it would be a very bad story internationally for the Trump administration. So I don't think they want to do that. But they might. They do a lot of things that are bad. And with our whole policy on Venezuela has been wrong since the election of Chavez in 1999, the 2002 coup by George Bush that failed. The escalation of sanctions by Obama. The first sanctions were by Bush also. The escalation by Obama, and now Trump escalating further and threatening military attack. I mean, the stories about what the Trump administration are doing in Venezuela are not told in the United States, and they're really ugly. And so if we have time, I'll talk about that more. But it's really
Well, we do. We have actually plenty of time, and our number is 212-209-2877. We want people to call in, and not just me asking the questions. 212-209-2877. A lot of folks are listening. Sometimes when we're giving a lot of really good information, Kevin, that's when people sit back and don't call because they want to hear what's the next exciting information. So we want to give them a chance. Remember, we need you to help keep the thing going. 212-209-2877. We're going to take a brief musical break, and we're going to come right back. All right, give you a chance to relax.
Good.
Five minutes.
Good.
All right, good. Go.
I met her in Venezuela with a basket on her head. If she loved others, she didn't say, but I knew she'd do to pass away the time in Venezuela.
That was Harry Belafonte. What a beautiful song. What a beautiful voice. I'm so glad he's still with us. He's such a great activist and really, really together to this day. I just saw him at an event last summer. It was great. Harry Belafonte. And we have some callers, and we have Eric Zies, who's occupying a guest of the Venezuelan government, watching over and guarding and protecting their embassy in Washington, D.C., along with 40 other people, including Ariel Gold and Medea Benjamin and other people, Brian Becker and others. And we have a couple of people on the line. You're with us. Welcome to WBAI.
Good evening.
Great. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Nutley, New Jersey.
Cool. All right. You have a question or comment for Kevin?
I have a comment for Kevin. I want to thank you so much for what you're doing. I did tweet a couple of informative tweets. You know, I tweeted it out and also on my Facebook page. And I just wanted you to know that I'm Cuban, and my brother left Cuba under Castro to go to Venezuela. And there he complained for about 30 years. He finally died, and I have my niece and my nephew. They are so brainwashed. The people just don't know the truth. And I just want to thank you. You know, you're an American, and I thank you so much for what you're doing. It's really important. You have my prayers. That's it. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. And so there's Nutley, New Jersey in the house. That's great.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. And I appreciate the support.
Yeah, we have another call coming in right now. You're on the radio with us. Welcome to WBAI. Are you there?
Hi.
Hi.
Yes, thank you.
Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from New Rochelle.
Cool. And your question or comment for Kevin Zies at the right now sitting in the Venezuelan embassy in Washington.
Yes. I just cannot wrap my head around what law gives the United States the power to carry out this is like economic terrorism against Venezuela. So I was wondering if he could talk about some of the horrific sanctions so that your listeners can understand better the reality of what's going on. And then maybe if he can also answer to how is it that the United States can get away with this? Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much for that call. Kevin, you heard that. Can you tell us a little bit about the sanctions?
Sure. Very, very good question. Yes, your instinct is exactly right. The so-called sanctions really are unilateral coercive measures. You know, sanction implies that there was a tribunal that found a person or a country guilty of something, and they're being punished, sanctioned for it. There's been no tribunal, there's been no trial, there's been nothing along those lines. It's the United States acting unilaterally to put in place coercive measures to try to convince the people of Venezuela by putting them in great economic pain to change governments. And it is a devastating impact. There was a report that came out just yesterday indicating 40,000 people have died because of these U.S. coercive measures. And these coercive measures include basic theft.
Venezuela has $1.5 million in gold in a bank in London. The U.S. instructed the bank not to return the gold when Venezuela asked for it. So they stole the gold. Venezuela has the largest gold reserves in the world. And the U.K. bank, the London bank, is stealing it at the direction of the United States. The United States has stolen the profits from Citgo, the Venezuelan oil company. And I mentioned earlier what this means. This means billions of dollars a year in theft by the United States. And recently, Juan Guaido's chief of staff and bodyguard were arrested. This is 2 weeks ago, and their computers and phones were searched, their homes were searched, and evidence was found that the United States, this is going to be amazing to people, and it's incredible this is not reported in the media, even though Venezuela has put forward the proof. The United States is spending $1 billion of money stolen from Venezuela to create terror cells in Venezuela to cause chaos. They were going to have 8 terror cells made up of mercenaries from Central American countries, trained in Colombia, funded through the Bank of America in Colombia. These mercenaries were going to dress up in Venezuela uniforms, come into Venezuela, and cause chaos. They were going to attack the electrical grid, which has already been attacked by the U.S. They're going to attack the metro, the subway, they have a great subway system in Caracas. They're attacking the cable that goes from downtown Venezuela to up in the barrios in the mountains. Attack government buildings, and assassinate government officials, including trying to assassinate President Maduro.
Sounds like Elliot Abrams. Wait, this has Elliot Abrams written all over it. This is like the Contras all over again. This could be Nicaragua.
Exactly. That's why it's so believable, because it's consistent with the MO of Elliot Abrams and the U.S. And the reason they're doing it is because they cannot get any support for a military invasion. President Trump's been talking about a military invasion openly since the summer of 2017. But Colombia and Brazil are saying no. Western European countries are saying no. And so in order to get that kind of support, they need to create chaos, make it look like a civil war by having people dressed up in military uniforms. Even the military is totally loyal to President Maduro. Make it look like the military is revolting and use that as an excuse to get other countries to join the U.S. in making an attack.
Guatemala, 1954. That's exactly what they did in Guatemala in 54, as Noam Chomsky's written about and many others have written about over the years. They created a fake rebellion and then just used that as an excuse. And it was they had the Rossiter and the rest of these ad men of the 50s, Madison Avenue. It was like the Madison Avenue coup, they called it at the time.
Exactly. So this is out of the U.S. playbook. And in fact, you know, the attack on the electrical grid that happened when I was in Venezuela, we got there when the electrical grid was already happening. So when the blackout was happening from the electrical attack.
You think that was an attack from the U.S., the electrical grid going out?
No, there's absolutely no question about it. It came from Houston. It came from Chicago. President Maduro has put forward the evidence of that. And when they would get the electricity back on, the U.S. would attack again. It was a constant back and forth battle. Finally, Venezuela won and got the electricity back on. It was about 6 days. But there's no question an attack. And in fact, when they were training Guaido and the opposition, the documents included attacking the exact nerve center of the electrical power that they did attack. So this was part of the playbook. They were openly discussing it, and they finally did it.
Right. We got another call. We have another call on the line. Well, let's go to the next call. Another that's very interesting information, and let's let folks jump in and give us their opinions and also ask their questions. Welcome to WBAI.
Hi.
Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from the Bronx.
Cool. Boogie down.
I'm doing okay. I just really wanted to thank your guests for what they're doing. I think it's wonderful, and I have a question for him. Which is, I was wondering if they were getting any support from any of the Congress people, either the new darlings,
AOC, for example, and some of the other Tlaib and Alon,
or Congressman Serrano from here in the Bronx. I mean, the people who, when Citgo was, you know, under when President Chavez was in office, and CITGO was spreading a lot of money around communities in the South Bronx and other places in the country. You know, everybody was all like, yay, Venezuela. And I'm just wondering, you know, are they on the scene at all now?
Good question.
Great question. You know, there have been a few members of Congress who have said the right thing about the U.S. coup and opposing it. Tulsi Gabbard, of course. Ro Khanna was very good. Bernie Sanders was disappointing. He came out against the U.S. intervention, but was totally wrong on all the facts. I mean, it's amazing how, you know, he claimed Maduro was a dictator when he won an election that was recognized by observers as legitimate. He claimed he was an authoritarian who killed his own people, nonsense, shot on nonviolent protesters, nonsense. And so Bernie Sanders was very uninformed. In fact, on the recent town hall, Bernie Sanders says he'd like to see an election in Venezuela, this time with international election observers. Well, there were international election observers. More than 150 international election observers were in Venezuela for...
Jimmy Carter, right?
What's that?
I said among them Jimmy Carter, right?
Well, that was a while ago. That was an old, he's older now, but that was an earlier election. But I was there actually. But there were 150 international election observers, and they unanimously said this was a legitimate election. So for Bernie Sanders to say we need an election with observers just shows he's not aware of what's really going on. But no member of Congress has yet stood by us or said anything about us. But they have some have said some good things about. You know, the stopping the coup. So I urge people to contact their member of Congress. It's best for them to hear from people who are not in the embassy, from other people who are. That's a good way. I appreciate the question because it's a good way to ask people to show their support.
Right.
AOC has been.
You're listening to WBAI Pacifica, listener sponsored Pacifica Radio in New York. I'm Paul D'Arienzo. This is the pop up version of Let Them Talk. We're on for another hour, and we'll keep. We're going to keep Kevin Zeese on as long as he can take it. Thanks so much for spending your evening with us here on WBAI and for the city of New York as well. And continue with your answer. It was a fascinating answer.
Yeah, so we have not heard anything from AOC, not just about us, but even about the coup. The attempted coup. She's been asked about it. She said she was working on a statement but never issued anything. So she needs to be pressured. She seems like she's uninformed about this or unwilling to take a position on it. She needs to be pressured as well. So people should be pressuring members of Congress, and we should be telling members of Congress to tell the Trump administration to negotiate with Venezuela about both their embassy and the U.S. embassy so they can reach a common agreement about how to deal with these two embassies now that diplomatic relations have been broken.
All right, great. We're going to take a short musical break, Kevin Zeese. I hope you can stay with us a little bit longer, and we can take a few more calls. Our number is 212-209-2877. You're listening again to WBAI. I'm Paul D'Arienzo. We'll be right back. Mahalia Jackson, and keep your eyes on the prize.
Or hands on the plow, as you prefer.
Am I on? Oh, that's the original idea of that song was your hands on the plow, right? Hold on, right? Oh, that's interesting. I just learned something about an ancient and old song, and it was great. I didn't know that because I've heard all the other sources of it, the other versions of it. Our studio line is 212-209-2877. And down there in Washington, D.C., in the Venezuela embassy, Kevin Zeese, along with the other protectors, are you keeping your hands on the plow down there in Washington?
My hands are on my keyboard.
That's the modern day plow, right? The version of the modern day plow. And you know, let's wrap up maybe the next 15 minutes and give you an opportunity to like sum up why you're there, where you're at, how you got there, and how long you expect to stay.
Great. Well, we started the collective on April 10th. We are going to stay for the foreseeable future as long as we can. in order to encourage negotiation between Venezuela and the United States on both the U.S. Embassy in Caracas and the Venezuelan Embassy in Washington, D.C., to reach a settlement that avoids any confrontation. And we'll stay as long as we possibly can. We're here lawfully, with the permission of the Venezuelan government, from the highest levels of the government. We are not trespassing. We not enter unlawfully. We have people, dozens of people spending the night. We have scores of people who come during the day. We do forums and events every night. If you go to the Facebook page, Embassy Protection Collective, you can get a list of the upcoming activities, and you can see some of the previous activities that have been live streamed. We've had cultural events. We've had music events. We've had discussion. Today we had discussion on organizing anti-imperialist movements in communities of color. We had a session on AFRICOM. We've had a session on Julian Assange. We've had sessions on, Venezuela updates, multiple Honduras updates. So we do every night, we do different events. And so we've had Lee Camp perform, a comedian, excellent political commentator, Lee Camp, and he was part of tonight's panel as well. We had two panels today, one earlier in the afternoon and one later. So check those out.
Where's the website? How can folks find out? Because I know I saw some of it myself, and I know it's archived somewhere, right?
Yeah, well, we have a lot on Popular Resistance. If you just go popularresistance.org/tag/Venezuela, you'll get all this stuff. There's so much. But we also have a Facebook page, which is Embassy Protection Collective. Embassy Protection Collective. Just look it up on Facebook, and you can get information there, as well as great pictures, by the way, of the building with the signs on it. That's just very powerful. Mm-hmm. And so you can help by spreading this information. If you go to the page or go to popularresistance.org to get the articles, take the links and share them. We need to spread the word. People need to know that we are here standing in solidarity with the Venezuelan people. The more people know, the stronger we get, the more likely it is that we can prevent a U.S. takeover. So please do that. You can donate at popularresistance.org under the donate button on the top of the page. We're feeding people who are staying here, and that takes money. And so any even small levels of support will help us to be able to meet the needs of the people who are staying in this embassy. We don't know how long we're going to stay. The police could come tonight, or we could be here for another 2 or 3 weeks while this negotiation goes forward. We hope it's a longer time, because we really want to succeed. If this negotiation fails and the U.S. takes this embassy and Venezuela takes the U.S. embassy, that could be called an act of war that could lead to a war with Venezuela. So we are really concerned that making this succeed is not just about this embassy, it's about keeping the peace between the United States and Venezuela. So,
and important to say, Kevin, you're not squatting. You guys are there with the permission of the elected Venezuelan government.
They have given us the keys. They've shown us how to run the building, and they have given us permission to be here. And we are, feeding ourselves. We're, inviting people to come. We're putting on forums and events, and we are here with the permission. We're not trespassing. We did not unlawfully enter. There's nothing we are doing that's illegal in this building. It's a completely legal situation. So,
you face possible arrest. What kind of arrest would that be if you're not breaking the law?
It will be an unlawful arrest, and it'll be an unlawful arrest that we will have our lawyers pursue damages for both the people who order it and the people who carry it out. So, if there's an arrest, an illegal eviction, because we're tenants, they need to follow the tenancy law in Washington, D.C. to evict any tenant, and if we are arrested, we will file charges. We will file litigation to seek damages for an illegal arrest. So that's what we are here lawfully. If the U.S. government comes in, they're the ones who are trespassing. They're the ones violating international law, the Vienna Convention on diplomatic relations. They are the ones that are unlawfully entering. We are doing everything lawful.
Right.
So it'll be a very strange situation.
Now you're cooking for 40 people there every night. Is that every night 40 people get fed?
It changes. We have anything from 15 to 40. Some people say we've had 50. My job is not assigning beds. We do have every night people who come and sign in, and we find bedrooms for them. We find offices, which are now bedrooms for them. Some nights we've had to have people doubling up in offices. It's a pretty big building.
Sounds like Julian Assange in the Ecuadorian embassy.
Let's hope we're not there for 7 years.
Right. I hope so. Maybe that wouldn't be so bad. I hope this comes to resolution.
But we are able to go outside, unlike Julian Assange. We're able to go outside in Georgetown and shop and, you know, so we're not like this terrible situation that Julian Assange was in. We did have a session on Julian Assange, by the way.
You did have what? I'm sorry, say that again.
We had a session, a forum on Julian Assange. Because we had the editor of Consortium News, Joe Loria, who was doing fantastic work on the Assange case. The best reporting, I think, of any website is from the Consortium News. And we had him come and speak about the Assange case, which was quite phenomenal. So the forums have been great. The work we're doing here on education and cultural work is just fantastic. You should really check out our Facebook page, Embassy Protection Collective.
Right, and about food, folks who can help you guys meet your budget there for food, how can they do that?
They can go to popularresistance.org and donate on the donate button. We had tonight, we had the New Jersey Green Party pay for Indian food. They called an Indian restaurant for us. We gave them an order, and they put the order in, and they fed. That was we did that, plus we had some pasta to help cover more people. So we had a combination Italian-Indian.
Right, nothing like pasta when you have a lot of people to feed, boy, I tell you.
Well, that's exactly right.
That's how you do it.
I bought a lot of pasta the other day.
Great. All right, last minute or two, what would you like to leave us with, Kevin Zeese from the Venezuelan Consulate?
I'm so pleased that all the callers who called in expressed their thanks for our work. I'm gratified that people see that what we're doing is important. We see this as really part of the dying of U.S. U.S. empire. I think we look back on this this time and see that the U.S. violated, if they come forward with this, if they go forward and violate the Vienna Convention, raising the question of whether any foreign embassy is safe in the United States. They sanctioned the foreign minister of Venezuela while he was at the U.N. That's never happened before, a foreign minister being sanctioned while he's at the U.N. Is any foreign minister safe?
No, and especially since the U.N., like it or not, is a forum for people to work out problems that in the past led to war of fighting. So it's like slapping thing in the face.
And the U.N. recognizes President Maduro, the legitimately elected government president of Venezuela. They recognize it. So the fact that the U.S. is ignoring the reality of what 150 nations are saying, U.S. got 50 nations that are under their thumb to take their side, but 150 nations are saying, no, we're not going to go for that. And no nation, even those that support the U.S. nonsense about the fraudulent puppet, even those nations refuse to get involved in a military attack. So we have the support of the world. I believe we'll have support of the American people, as you can see from this call. And I just hope people will show their support by participating, coming, calling their member of Congress, telling them to speak out on our behalf, and making donations to help us fund paying for the food and other necessities that are needed to keep, you know, anywhere from 25 to 50 people fed and taken care of in an embassy.
Great. So if there's anybody out there who's got a few bucks and they can get in touch with you guys and just put food delivery on their card, and that'll be it, and everybody will have a good time. And if somebody could do that, I'm sure there's somebody who could do that every day, different person day, and keep you guys going for a long time. So get in touch.
Go to
the website. Yeah, go to the website. Find out more about what's happening. Thank you, Kevin Zeese, for joining us on.
Thank you for having me on.
Let Them Talk on WBAI, and we're going to be keeping very close tabs on this, so you'll be hearing from me more. And we'll definitely, anything that happens, just call us right up, and we'll put you right on the air.
Thank you very much.
All right, thanks, Kevin Zeese.
All right, bye bye.
Bye bye. All right, that was Kevin Zeese, and this is Let Them Talk. I'm Paul DiRienzo.